¿Cómo están? Oh my God, no van a saber, no van a saber, claro que no van a saber, porque no sabes, me pasó a mí, pero ¿qué cree que me pasó esta mañana?
Humpty Dumpty had a great fall.
Fuck you.
It was the funniest thing ever.
So, la semana pasada, para los que nos siguen en TikTok o para los que me siguen a mí en Tiagway, hay un video en donde nuestras lavadoras are acting up. And literally, mi papá is holding the fucking lavadoras before they fucking wash our clothes out the door. Y pues finalmente la semana pasada se literal desconchinflaron la secadora y después la lavadora. Entonces tuvimos que ir a comprar un nuevo set. Y finalmente el día de hoy lo pudimos, llegó. And so Judith, I don't know what the fuck she needed from her truck. Y como la señorita no sale a la calle, if she doesn't have her fucking full-ass makeup and hair and whatever.
I'm in pain, you stupid bitch. And I couldn't because...
You couldn't walk 10 feet.
I could not, Luis. I can't. I can't.
So, anyways, yo de buen samaritano, de buen humano, de buen hermano, was like, don't worry, I'll go get your wallet from the car. And so I went and grabbed the wallet. And I exit the front door, which we never use the front door, but because the lavadoras were being delivered, la lavadora and secadora, they were using our kitchen entrance, which is what we always use here at the house. So here I am walking and I fucking slip. I slip and I shit. Y lo bueno que caí encima del pasto. Porque si no me hubiera rayado toda la pinche pierna, el brazo, it would have been horrible.
The funniest thing though is that there's two escaloncitos, like they're fucking tiny. And I have no idea how, but also Luis loves to wear these fucking rubber ass 99 cent store chanclas. It doesn't matter, they're from the 99 cent store, Ross, anywhere, even
yeah,
Nordstrom.
Yeah, 99 cent stores. I'm just kidding. I love my chanclas from the 99 cent store.
Even like, I think this last one he got from like the Nordstrom.
I got
them
from Ross. No,
I got them for you at the swap meet.
Oh, did you? Oh, that's yeah. Right. You did buy them for me.
But anyways, you're these like fucking rubber
son
chanclas.
Son de plástico, son de hule.
And he always falls.
But the reason why I love these chanclas is because I remember when I was a little kid, I would go to my dad's pueblo and we would always wear chanclas. And I love the sounds they make. Watch. This is the sound they make every time you walk.
Oh my God, that sounds like... Okay, Luis, you're fucking dumb. That's the worst example you can use. Okay, moving
pues es que
on.
El que el pan piensa es porque hambre tiene. Fíjate.
Stupido.
So anyways, I love the way these chanclas sounds when I walk.
Because it clearly reminds him of something.
Stupida.
But yeah, it was the funniest thing. And we were roasting him all morning. And my dad's like... Creo que tus nuevos lentes no alcanzaron a ver los escalones. And then he was like, he's like, ¿qué estás practicando para portero? Because he literally like...
Me aventé. Yeah. Like, I fell. Like, I don't even know what the fuck happened. I don't know. All I remember is like feeling like I was going to slip. And then I was on the fucking floor on the grass. And I tried to get up as quickly as possible. Because I always say that it's hilarious when adults fall. I think it's the funniest thing. And every time I've seen an adult fall, I can't help but to laugh out loud. I always laugh because it's the funniest thing. And I also think that adults fall in slow motion. Like, if you've ever seen an adult fall, like literally, they fall in slow motion. Entonces así sentí que me caí because I felt like I was like leaning forward, but I wasn't falling. And I tried to like take a step further to see if I could catch myself. Y no, me fui de hocico. But anyway, se me peló el dedo.
It was so funny. You all had to be there.
It was so funny, yeah. And then Judy was kept on making fun of me this whole fucking morning. And then la babosa sacó sus plantas a que las regara mi papá, pero no las han sacado al patio. And so they're hanging from, like, the corridor, like from the middle that divides la sala with the kitchen. Y literal, están colgando en medio. And I told her, Judith, no la pongas ahí because we're not used to having shit here. Y alguien se va a pegar en la cabeza. ¿Y quién crees que se pegó en la cabeza? Judith. After she was making fun of me. So karma is a bitch.
Stay safe, y'all. It's Freaky Friday. So today we're going to be talking about Luis's coming out story. It's very, very sweet. But we want to share the story because it is really sweet and it's very como muy así como nos queremos tanto y la chingada, you know. But do you want to go ahead and start?
Yes. So, había una vez. Ay, qué mamón. No, but I think everybody's coming out story is completely different, and the first thing that I want to say is don't think that you're coming out has to be a certain way, or because you heard it somewhere, or you saw it on TV, or you saw it in movies. Everybody's coming out is different and is unique to each person, and it doesn't have to be the way you heard it or seen it. I just want to preface with that. Para mí fue muy difícil because I had girlfriends. I was going to get married when I was 18 years old, and I truly loved this person that I was going to get married to, pero pasó, la vida sucedió, or I should say, sucedió que ella se mudó a Kansas City, Missouri, and during that time, it was my heyday, meaning I was the golden child. I was working at the radio station, and then another radio station wanted me to transfer over, so I was doing so well as far as my career goes, and I think that every time I would go to visit her in Kansas City, Missouri, I would always make jokes about, like, oh my God, what do people do here? Like, what do you do for fun? Porque yo en ese momento, pues era un chamaco de 18 años working at a radio station, making $30,000 a year. I was living my dream, I want to say. And so at the end, this girl basically said, I don't want to get married. And I got really hurt. And so I was like, ¿por qué? And that threw me into becoming more dedicated into my work and dedicating all the free time I had into that. Little did I know that basically what I was doing was being myself, which was being a controlador. I learned that I am a huge controlador until 2-3 years ago when I started taking therapy.
He still is.
I know I am, but at least I now acknowledge it. And now when I am controlando una situación, I see it and I try to back out. Entonces, pues bueno, that was when I was 18. And then from then on, I started, you know, hooking up with guys and doing, you know, going out to gay clubs or gay bars y la chingada, until I met someone. And that someone is Fernando, my current situation. That is cierto. So that's not until I met him and we hung out and we were going out to places y la chingada. And he was the first person that I thought I want to introduce to my family as my partner, not as a friend. And aside from that, when we met, I was the biggest I've ever been in my life. And he literally liked me. I didn't have a job at that moment, so I wasn't able to take him on like fancy trips or go to nice dinners or nada de eso. I had just gotten a DUI. I had lost my job. I had just come back from traveling through Mexico. And so to make a long story short, he really made me feel comfortable and made me feel great. And so that's when I decided I'm gonna share my coming out. And the first person I told was who at that moment was my best friend. And she was like, güey, yo ya sabía, but I don't care. And I was like, ay, güey, muchas gracias. And then I told my other best friend. And finally, I was like, okay.
I thought I was your best friend.
No, you're my sister.
and so, your best friend, to behold.
No, my sister. And so then at that moment, I was like, okay, it's time to tell my family. And that was the scariest thing of my life. Like, to be able to tell my family was just... I knew that my family was open-minded, pero yo sí siento que nuestras familias, you know, where we always say, ay, está bien, hasta que te sucede en tu familia, right? Because my dad, I had gay friends, and my dad would always be so supportive of them, and he would be like, si necesitan algo, diles que aquí pueden venir, que aquí pueden llegar, se pueden quedar aquí, blah, 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 etc. So my parents have always been open-minded. But I remember the first time I told my family members, the first one I told was Judith. And the reason why I told Judith the first is because I feel like desde muy pequeños, we always had a really great bond. Even though we are the furthest apart in años, I feel like Judith and I have always had a really, really great close relationship for whatever reason. Porque nos llevamos cuántos años?
Like 10.
10 años?
Yeah.
Güey, ¿vas a cumplir qué? ¿25?
No.
30. Vas a cumplir 30.
29.
Ok. Nos llevamos como 10, 11 años. El chiste es de que, pues bueno, yo cuando Judith nació, yo ya estaba como, tenía como 11 años o algo así. And I remember going to the beach, taking Judith to the beach, and we were there.
And before all that, I do want to say that yo también siempre sabía que Luis era gay, específicamente porque él siempre nos cuidaba, right? And I always say that that Luis lived his niñez in some way through me.
Ay, estás bien pendeja, Judith.
Because
my God.
If you could see the pictures and way Luis would style me, you would all die. Like, literally all die.
Estás bien mensa.
Because he would dress me up and, like, I literally was probably, like, 8 or 9 looking like a 30-year-old. And, like, blazers and, like, little ass, like, my outfits were giving, ¿cómo se llama? ¿Cómo se llama la de Sex and the City?
I'm so Raven.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yes, but anyways, I always knew because I always had this thing that I always wanted a sister, right? I always wanted a sister because obviously I wanted to share like a closet and chisme.
You wanted to share mints?
And, you know, just have that like sister bond. But with Luis, it's like I had that sister bond, but obviously Luis is not a female. So when it came to like school projects, when it came to crazy hair or week or spirit week, or when it came to like dressing to go to a party or something, él siempre me vestía. And I would always go to him to be like, hey, bro, does this look good? And he would be like, no, yeah, or add this or wear this or do this. And I kind of always figured like, wow, he has really good taste for like clothes and he knows what to say.
Very stylish. I mean, and even when I'm wearing sweats, I look good.
And so I'm like,
even when I fall,
shut the fuck up. And so I was like, oh, well, you know, my brother is gay, I believe. And even when I was going to school, I was in elementary. And I remember specifically one time I had this friend, because I had a Tinkerbell sweater that I really loved. I don't know if you remember. I think you got it for me. It had a little pom-pom on. Like, it had a little pom-pom right here. I don't know. It was Tinkerbell. But I was obsessed with that sweater, right? And I remember that this friend was like, oh, my God, cute sweater. Where did you get it? And I was like, oh, it's cute, right? My brother got it for me. And she was like, your brother is always getting you really cute stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but in that moment, I'm just like, oh, well, yeah, he knows me. I'm his sister, whatever, right? But then I was like, wait a minute. He is always getting me cute stuff. He's like, you know, he obviously has a feminine touch, taste. So after that, I grew up, yeah, middle school, high school, whatever. And I knew, and at this point, when Luis had opened up to me about his sexuality and his preferences, I believe I was like in high school. No, tenía como 17 años. I was a sophomore in high school. A sophomore?
Yeah, because it was after your quinceañera.
Yeah, either a sophomore or a freshman. But I remember when he did this, he was like, oh, sister, let's go to the beach. And I was like, first of all, I hate the fucking beach. And second of all, why do you want to hang out with me? But, I mean, he always wanted to hang out with me, but this was kind of like, You could, like, Luis agarró una pinche picnic basket, filled it up with a bunch of little cute snacks, with my favorite snacks. He took, like, a cute fucking cobija. And, like, I was like, what are you doing? But, you know, I was like, all right, cool. We're going to go spend the day at the beach. So we go to the beach, and we're just, like, hanging out. And it felt like one of those scenes in the movie where, like, it's like a pareja, and the sunset's coming down. And, like, the guy's about to ask the girl to marry her or some shit, right? So, like, the sun is setting. We're having our little picnic or whatever. And we're sitting right next to each other. And he goes, like, hey, I have something to tell you. And I think before he even said anything, like, I just fucking let him do all this pachanga. I let him do all this. I let him fucking get comfy. I let him take me out, buy me my favorite snacks. And I let him give him his, like, speech, right? He was like, hey, sis, like, I'm gay, and, like, it's been happening. It's been happening.
It's been popping, girl.
He was like, you know, I've known, and et cetera, et cetera. So as soon as he was done talking, I think I even said, like, are you done? But I was like, bro, I already knew this. And I was like, bro, you didn't have to do all this. I'm like, bro, you didn't have to do all this. But I was like, bro, I already knew. Like, I knew the moment that I had said that I had this urge of, like, I wish I had a sister. And I think that's why we get along so very well. Because, yes, we're so many years apart from each other. But Luis has always been, like, my confidant, right? My confidant.
Watch out, my second is gonna come for you.
And I've always been able to share, like, boy experiences, sex experiences with him without feeling any type of judgment, where I know that if I were to tell my other sibling, which I have shared some stuff, he kind of just is like,
what the fuck?
Or like, you fucking hoe. But Luis says it like, you fucking hoe, like, yes, you fucking hoe, keep going.
Yes, you fucking hoe.
So that was that. But it was like the sweetest, cutest thing ever, because I just felt like Luis went out of his way to tell me in, like, a very sweet way, when deep down, I think it was a moment that friend in elementary school had pointed that out to me, where I was like, yeah, my brother is gay. I don't even know if I knew what gay was.
My chancla fell off. It broke.
I don't even know if I knew the terminology or what gay was then, but I knew that, like, my sibling was gay, you know? And I don't think I even questioned anything else. I just thought, like, oh, well, you know what, bro? Like, it's chill. It's fine. Like, I think my first question was, like, have you told our parents? Because I was too young. I was in high school, and I think the biggest thing was, like,
how are parents going to react,
like,
to
how
this?
Is this going to affect all of us, right? And I think I just also remember the first person that I told was my partner at the time, and he was like, bro, like, your sibling is so fucking cool. Like, I think I knew that too. And I was like, yeah, like, it's normal, right? I feel like our parents are going to be fine. So then you want to go ahead and say what you
happened? Then basically what happened is I felt a relief, right? I felt relief because I think from
so the sun set, and then Luis asked me to marry him.
So I felt a great, like, it felt great to tell somebody from your family, like a sibling, and for them to be so accepting and say, hey, it's okay, I knew, nothing changes, I think we hugged. And
I think we even cried, because it was just one of those moments where the sun was setting. It was like, oh, bro, you don't have to do all this. You could have just told me at the house.
You could have just texted me. I got shit to do.
But it was very sweet that he took the time to do all that. And also, it's a very special moment, right? Like, if a lot of you know, we somos muy apegados los tres. But Luis and I want to say, because Luis is gay, he understands me and I understand him more. And because I've always been the fucking peacemaker here at the house. So it's like, whatever something goes off, bitch, whatever fucking pops off, mom comes to me, everyone comes to me, and I have to fucking automatically fix everything. And I'm like, Okay, so yeah, it was just very sweet, and I think after that you started telling like our sibling.
Then after that I told Ricardo and his wife, or no, soon to be wife, because they were going out and
they were engaged.
They were engaged already, and so I took him to Cheesecake Factory, and I was there, and we were eating, and I basically told them there. I was like, "Hey, I have something to tell you guys," and then they're like, "Yeah, what's up?" And I said, "Well, I'm gay."
Oh, I think I was there too. Yeah.
You were there. It was all four of us. And I said, I'm gay. And my brother was like shocked. Like Rick was shocked. Karina, my sister-in-law, she was like, I love you. I think you're amazing. And nothing changes between you and me. But my brother couldn't say that. Like Rick couldn't say that. Like he was just shocked. Like he was completely shocked. He didn't know. He didn't have a clue that potentially I was gay. Because I would date girls every so often. And I remember that he was just so shocked that he was like, I wish I would have invited you to go out more, to bars with me, to go like to places. Like he, I don't know, no sé qué se imaginó, but he was just so shocked. And then he asked also, have you told my parents? Are you going to tell them? And I was like, no, I haven't told them. Only you guys know. And then on top of that, I was like, and I have a partner. His name is Fernando. And everybody was shocked, right? Like, what the fuck? Because Fernando, we had met here at the house through a friend of mine. Not a friend, but the year prior to me coming out, I had traveled through Mexico and I had done couch surfing. For those of you that don't know what couch surfing is, you basically stay on people's couch while you travel throughout the world and they don't charge you anything to stay there. So you make friends, ya sí. And so because I had made such great connections while I was in Mexico, somebody recommended me to this guy who was coming from Veracruz, Mexico, to study at Santa Ana College. And I had mentioned to them that I lived very close to Santa Ana College. And so they hit me up and they're like, hey, listen, there's this guy whose name is Miguel Angel. And he's going to go to the Santa Ana College and he's trying to see if he could stay somewhere until he finds a place. I asked my dad and my dad said, yes, he could stay here. And so he stayed here. Y nos cayó tan bien que las dos semanas que se iba a quedar aquí se hicieron dos meses. Because he couldn't find a place, and my dad was like, hey, listen, no te preocupes, quédate el tiempo que necesites para que encuentres un lugar chido y no te vayas a meter pues a donde quiera, a donde sea. And so during those 2 months, it turned out that it was his birthday. Well, un día me invita Miguel Ángel y me dice, oye, varios de los estudiantes del International Group, vamos a ir a Downtown Santa Ana, ¿nos quieres acompañar? Y le dije, sí, güey, a huevo. Entonces lo acompañé y resulta que del grupo de estudiantes de ese año nada más había dos latinos. Uno, Miguel Ángel, y el otro, Fernando, que venía de Colombia. And so I briefly met Fernando when we went out that night in downtown Santa Ana. And that was it. Pero no se me hizo ni atractivo, ni lo pelé, ni nada. And then his birthday was coming and we're like, well, we can't throw Miguel a surprise birthday party porque todos aquí en la casa dijimos, let's give him a surprise birthday party. And I was like, pero ¿cómo lo sacamos? If I'm going to be arreglando, I can't take him out because then ¿quién arregla? And so me metí a su Facebook de Miguel and justamente Fernando had just left him a message and he was saying something like, hola parce, ¿qué va a hacer este fin de semana? Something like that. And I was like, oh my God, I think this is the guy that goes to school with him. So I looked up his profile and sure enough, it was him. I sent him a message and I was like, hola Fernando, no sé si te acuerdas de mí. Soy Luis, el roommate de Miguel Ángel. Oye, no sé si sepas, pero es su cumpleaños este fin de semana y le queremos hacer una fiesta. ¿Será posible que lo puedas invitar a la playa y que se estén allá todo el día y cuando regresen vamos a tener ya todo listo? Y por favor, invita a quien tú pienses que le gustaría a Miguel Ángel que viniera a celebrar su cumpleaños. And that was that. And he did, he came. Y esa noche me acuerdo que nos pusimos una peda a todos. And I was like, ¿alguien quiere más cerveza? And people were like, sí, yo quiero, yo quiero. Y Fernando was like, yo le ayudo. Entonces, venimos al refrigerador. I was grabbing the beers y que me agarra la cola. Fernando, like he pinched my butt. And I was like, what the fuck? So to make that story short, long story short, my dad helped Fernando get a job where he was working at the time to help him out. So Fernando was working there for a whole year. And my dad loved Fernando because my dad would say, Fernando me recuerda mucho a mí when I first came to this country, con todas las ganas y la actitud. So my dad and Fernando worked for a whole last year. And then I told, after 6 months, we became a thing. And then that's when I told Judy, that's when I told Ricardo, and then I told my mom. My mom, I remember we were laying down on bed and on her bed, and she was watching a telenovela, creo que era La Fea Más Bella at the time. No me acuerdo. Was it that one? No, I don't think it was that one. I think, no me acuerdo. Pero dije, mamá, tengo algo que decirte. Y me dice, sí, ¿qué pasó, hijo? Y ya le dije, soy gay. Y se quedó también shocked. And she was like, ¿y cómo sabes que eres gay? Because I think she also was a little bit shocked because I've had girlfriends. And dice, ¿a quién le has dicho? Y le dije, pues ya le dije a Ricardo, a Karina, a Judith, a mi best friend, y así. And they're like, ¿y cómo lo tomaron? And then I said, pues todo el mundo lo tomó bien. Ricardo was a little bit shocked, but I think he's okay. Y este, y si no le has dicho a tu papá, le dije, no, pues te dije a ti, te quiero decir a ti. Y dice, and my mom started crying, and she was like, hijo,
papacito.
She was like, hijo, yo te quiero, yo te amo, tú siempre vas a ser mi hijo. I am a little bit shocked, pero if you know for sure, then I accept you. And then I was like, and there's more. Le dije, tengo pareja. And she was like, really? Y le digo,
y le dio el mimiski.
Y le digo, es Fernando. And she was like, what? Y le dije, sí, es Fernando. Mind you, Fernando lived in Costa Mesa at the time and he didn't have a car. I didn't have a car either. So when Fernando would come to our little drink get-togethers, pues se quedaba. Because by the time we were done, ya no había raite. And so clearly we would mess around when ya todos iban a dormir y la chingada. Entonces, my mom was like, mira, hijo, yo te pido, por favor, que no le digas a tu papá hasta después de la boda de Ricardo. Because also, ya faltaban como 4 meses para la boda de Ricky. Dice, we don't want to steal his thunder. And I didn't even think about that. Because if I would have thought about that...
Luis doesn't think about stealing our thunders.
Because it just comes so naturally. But I didn't think about that. And I was like, fuck, I should have waited to tell my mom too. And maybe Rick, I don't know. But by then, yeah, it was too late. So I was like, okay, cool. So we fucking fly to Mexico. Everybody flies to Mexico, the whole family. We have our thing out there. And we come back. Bueno, allá se hizo un desmadre para empezar. That was a whole other fucking topic. Pero...
But nada que ver with this.
Yeah, nada que ver con esto. And when we come back, I tell my dad. And my dad is like shocked too. And the first thing he says is, yo no estoy de acuerdo con ese estilo de vida, but I love you and you will always be my son. Y me dice, lo único que te pido es que no traigas a la casa a alguien y que no te quiero ver agarrado de la mano o besando a otro hombre. And I was like, fuck. And I was really, really shocked about that, right? Because he had told my friends, like, oh, están bienvenidos aquí en la casa y la chingada. That's why I always say que it's easy to say it when it doesn't happen in your house. But once it happens, things can change, right? And then I was like, and there's more. Dije, tengo pareja. Y dice, ¿quién es tu pareja? Y cuando le dije Fernando, damn, he was, like, you could tell in his face, like, he was really disappointed. Because he had gotten Fernando a job. He really liked Fernando. And at that moment, he was like, so, todas las veces que se ha quedado aquí en tu cuarto, ¿ya eran pareja? And I was like, yes. And he, and basically, my dad said, no quiero volver a ver a Fernando aquí. Because he felt like we betrayed him. And, I mean, he's right. You know, abusamos de la confianza. And so,
once... But sorry to interrupt you. I also think that it has to do with Luis has always been the, I'm not going to say favorite because that's like, no. He has always been like the golden child, right? The firstborn. Where vino mi papá y mi mamá ese país, blah, blah, blah. Everything that they started to do was because Luis had arrived. So obviously they wanted to give Luis a better life. So now going back and thinking like, holy fuck, I think that's why my dad got super upset, was because everything my dad had ever worked for and him coming here specifically to buy Luis a pair of shoes was to him like, holy fuck, like even more of a
betrayal.
A betrayal, because my dad worked his whole life until he had Ricardo and myself, but to give Luis everything that he could ever need para que Luis no fuera con mi papá, to have maybe like a grown father son talk, right? Because obviously Luis was gay, so maybe he didn't know how to approach my dad or etc. whatever. But I think that's what the betrayal part felt like for my dad, that like, era mi primer hijo, my first
hombre.
How could he have not come to me first?
Yeah, because I had also told him that everybody knew except for him. So, so anyways, to add salt to the injury. And so that happened. And then the next day I told Fernando and I said, hey, Fernando, ya le dije a mi papá. And this is what he said. So if you see him any different at work, it might be because of that. But my dad told me, he was like, I'm not going to treat Fernando any different at work. I'm just not going to continue to be like, ya comiste, vente, vamos a comer. Because my dad and Fernando would go have lunch together. Because my dad genuinely liked Fernando. He liked him. He was like, es un buen hijo, es un buen muchacho. He saw how much he took care of his grandmother, how he continues to take care of his grandmother. So my dad was like, este es un buen chavo. And maybe my dad wanted him for you.
Maybe you have daddy issues.
I don't have daddy issues.
Well, they do say that your partner ends up being like your mother or your father, so...
Well, he's not like either one.
I mean, in some things, Fernando and my dad bond because they're kind of like both very nerdy and very like, like for fucking, I'm sorry, no offense, but like little dad joke gadget shit, that's Fernando.
Yeah. So anyways, so then pobrecito Fernando felt so like, se puso todo de nervios. Y ese día yo me fui a Tijuana con mi amiga Rebeca. And so I told Fernando that in the morning. Y después me habla. Ya vamos como a mitad del camino, Rebeca, su esposo y yo. Y este... Ah, porque le iba a hacer sus arreglos para su boda. Entonces íbamos a ir a comprar los jarrones. Este, me habla mi papá por teléfono y me dice, Luis, Fernando se desmayó y está en el hospital. And I was like, what the fuck? ¿A qué hospital se fue? Okay, creo que se lo llevan a UCI. Y me colgó. My dad. And I was like, oh my God. And so my friend Rebecca heard that and she was like, oh my God, what happened? Y le dije, Fernando's in the hospital. And she's like, okay, we're going to go back. And I was like, wait, there's nothing I can do. Let's just go to Tijuana. And then she's like, wait, no seas mamón. No, we're going to go back. We can go to Tijuana any other day. And I was like, okay, pues chido. And Fernando se desmayó because he was so nervous. He was so nervous that my dad knew and he did not know how to approach him and, you know, whatever. So anyways, so that felt really, really horrible because Fernando now could not come to the house. Automatically, Fernando was excluded from like birthdays, bautizos, el bautizo de mi nephew, like all these things. And ya llevábamos 2 años and I was like, listen, you guys, ya llevamos 2 años con Fernando and you still don't admit him here. Like, I'm going to move out. I'm going to move out. And if you don't accept him, then you're probably going to lose me because he is my partner. And I can't give that not give that respect to my partner. Así que ni modo. And yeah, I think I missed a couple, like, I missed a couple of things.
I think you missed a whole year.
A whole year of experiences.
But here comes Hudi the peacemaker, because...
And then finally, one day, when we were at our house in Anaheim, I was like, I'm going to make a brunch. I want to invite all of you guys. You're all invited. Que venga quien venga. And Fernando was like, are you sure you want to invite your dad? You know he's not going to come. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to invite them. And I said, No, Fernando was like, you should invite your parents. And I said, are you sure? Because they might not come. And Fernando was like, yes, invite them. And I told Fernando, look, I'm going to invite them. But if they don't come, Fer, don't feel bad. Okay? I was protecting him. And to my surprise, everyone showed up, including my dad and my mom. They had not seen the house. And then they saw it. And my dad was like, congratulations, está muy bonita su casa, la decoraron muy bonita. And then from that point on, everything changed. So fast forward to today, we moved back into my parents' house. And it has been, todo ha cambiado, right?
Like, but I think we missed one important part.
What?
The Thanksgiving, one specifically one Thanksgiving within that whole span that Luis no estaba aquí en la casa. Thanksgiving is a very important holiday here in our household. Not specifically because of the Thanksgiving, all the other bullshit that happens around that time, but mainly because it was the one year that my mom, no matter if my parents were fighting or not, or if we had, you know, as long as we had a roof over our head, some food to eat, and we would always have a turkey no matter what. And this was because my mom always said, like, esté viva o no, like, siempre se tiene que hacer. So specifically this Thanksgiving, we were getting ready, right? And my mom was like, oh, you should talk to your dad. And I was like, why do I need to talk to my dad? Like, what the fuck? So she was like, yeah, you should talk to your dad and see, like, kind of hint to, like, hey, dad, no vamos a, like, no vamos a invitar a Luis or whatever. And I was like, I'm not going to do that, one, because I'm not in my, like, I know my father, and our father is the type of father that, like, if you tell him, if you, si lo haces enojar, like, there's no changing his mind, or there's just no changing his mind of whatever it is, right? So Thanksgiving comes, and I tell my dad, we're already ready, we're having cena like normal, and my dad comes up to me, and he's like, you should call Luis. And I was like, okay. I didn't even question it. I was just like, okay. And then I kind of looked at him, and I was like, dad, are you sure? And he's like, yeah. So then I tell my mom, I was like, hey, dad just said to call Luis. So my mom calls Luis. And I guess whatever, my mom calls Luis, and Luis did deny it, and he didn't want to come, and they didn't. But I think that specific Thanksgiving, it was where my dad had possibly realized, like,
I don't want to lose him.
Yeah, and holy fuck, this is, like, a big dinner for us, a big time for us that, like, he's not going to come. And I think lo que le dolió también más was that I think he did it hoping that he would say yes, or expecting Luis to say, oh, finally, let me go. And he did not show up. So that was, like, maybe the biggest thing that my dad was like, fuck, like, we can't lose our son, or, you know, whatever. So yeah.
And so fast forward to today, we all live under the same roof. And sometimes Fernando and my dad will go have breakfast by themselves. Fernando now arrives from work, and he'll give me a peck on the lips in front of my dad, in front of our family. And as corny as it sounds, and for anybody listening out there who might be in the same situation where your parents are not being fully supportive, it does take time. It does take time. Because you also have to understand that if your parents are anything like my parents that grew up in Mexico, they grew up in a completely different world. And I was literally going to mandar a la chingada a mi familia if it wasn't for me going to a 3-day weekend retiro in LA, which my friend Steve invited me to. And there was a panel of 3 moms and their experience of when their children came out. So they all said their experience, and they were all talking about how some of them knew, some of them didn't. Pero una señora específicamente que se llama la señora Lupe, who I'm never going to forget, she basically said that cuando su hijo salió del closet y le dijo, mamá, soy gay, que la señora gritó, se aventó en el suelo, que por qué yo, Dios mío, por qué yo, qué hice para merecerme este castigo. And then she realized years later that the reason why she acted that way was because she did not know how to protect her child from the world. Because as a parent, your only job is to protect your child from whatever, whomever, y acomode lugar. And so this was the only one thing that she could not do as a parent, how to protect my child. How do I protect my child from miradas? How do I protect my child from being bullied? And God forbid, how do I protect my child from being beaten up because he's flamboyant or because he's wearing women's clothes and he may be approached by somebody who's so homophobic that they start beating him up? And when I heard that, I was like, holy shit. It took me 28 years to be okay with my sexuality and come out of the closet. I cannot expect my parents to also be okay with it overnight. And so that gave me a lot of perspective. And I was like, it's going to take time. I know they love me. That was not a, there was no doubt in my head ever in my heart that they didn't love me. I knew they loved me, but I just also knew that it would take time. So 10 years later now, I'm still with Fernando. I think we have a great relationship. It's a relationship nonetheless. Y como todas, there's up and downs. But I think that the best part is that my family has fully accepted me. My dad, my mom, and they all love Fernando. So again, as corny as this may sound, with due time, things do get better. It's just that initial step of like coming out and saying that you're gay, which is the hardest step. Pero también a la misma vez, don't feel pressured to do it because everybody is asking you or telling you. You can come out of the closet whenever you want, whenever you feel like you are ready. Don't come out of the closet for anybody except for you. And I know that that's como ridículo decir because yo salí del closet porque conocí a alguien. And maybe this person, Fernando, allowed me to feel comfortable in my own skin so much so that it gave me the courage to be able to do it. But you don't have to wait for somebody to come along. You can do it on your own. And yeah, whenever you're ready, you just do it. Así que, that is my coming out story. Pero, pues bueno, I just want to say that next week, ya nos vamos a ir a México, cabrones!
I know, we are so excited. We cannot wait. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to record out there, so hopefully the next episode aired will be the one in Mexico. But yeah, sending a lot of love and hugs to our LGBTQ plus community, and hoping that this story finds
itself, you know, to the person that they need to hear, whether it be, and I please, igual se los recomiendo y se los pido que si tienen alguien en su familia que de repente might be gay, have them listen to this episode or send this to the parents of people. Because I think it's important for people to hear these stories porque nos pasan y pasan a diario and they need to be heard. Así que muchas gracias. And
see you in Mexico.
Nos vemos en México. Sí, I'm so excited. All right.
Bye.
Oh, follow me on TikTok and Instagram. Bye. At _ DIGUEY. DIGUEY. Bye.